Okay, reminder that we have a quarterly business meeting as soon as we finish this second session. During the first half, we have been really dealing with the command, do not get drunk, in which has literally translated in which is debauchery, rather than NIV, which says which leads to debauchery. Now, there are two observations, if you recall, we made. One is that it's not really a command against drinking. And of course, that also is simply a general instruction not to get drunk. So the implication being, if that's what you've been doing, you say stop it. If you haven't started, if you're not getting drunk, and like I explained, don't get drunk. Or as I explained in the first half, that just because we understand there's nothing wrong with drinking doesn't mean you should start drinking if you don't drink. And also, we saw though that drunkenness is an act of lack of self-control that also leads to further self-control in one's behavior that is very destructive or that ruins a person's life. So having seen that, the apostle shifts into those are what we call living unwisely. Now, he shifts to what we call living wisely, which is where I said we should begin with this second session, which is the command, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, this much I can tell you, we're not even going to even scratch that until next week. What I'm going to do is just prepare so we can look at it next week. So all the rest of the day, we're only just going to go around it. We haven't even going to start it. So what it means to be filled with the Spirit as we have it here, it's not something we're going to consider today for sure. Now, nonetheless, we will ask a question. What does the command mean to be filled with the Spirit? How does a person go about obeying that command? Those are the two issues that we're going to deal with. But like I said, we're not going to really deal with them today. Now, truly speaking, it sounds very simple. Now, these two questions I've raised to you, which is, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And how does one go about dealing with it? Are two questions that are very difficult to answer. You think it's easy, but you're going to find that it's not. It's very difficult to answer what it really means to be filled with the Spirit and how one goes about doing it. Nonetheless, though, we will give answers to these two questions that we believe to be indeed what the apostle meant. Now, to give the answers to these two questions, there are five facts we should consider before we can even give an answer what it means and how you go about it. There are five facts that we will consider, and I believe we're only going to consider two of those facts today, or this second half. Now, the first fact is that this is the only passage in the New Testament Greek that we have a command that has to do with being filled with the Spirit, which is what contributes to the difficulty of understanding what the apostle meant. In other words, there's no other passage in the New Testament where it tells you to be filled with the Spirit. This is the only one. And since that's the only place it occurs, that causes difficulty of what it means. A second fact is that there are two Greek words that are translated filled in connection with the Holy Spirit. So we need to consider these two words as they are necessary in answering the question of what it means to be filled with or of the Spirit. Now, a first Greek word, and I'm going to write it down because they're important in what we're studying. The first word is pimplemi. P-I-M-P-L-E-M-I. That's the first Greek word, pimplemi. Now, it is used only really by Luke in connection with the filling of the Spirit. It means, the Greek word means, to be completely full. Hence means, to fill, to fulfill. To fill, to fulfill. Now, literally, the word is used of things that can be noticeable, so that it is used with the amazement of those who saw Peter perform the miracle of healing of the crippled beggar in Acts chapter 3, verse 10. Acts chapter 3, verse 10. And hold on to Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 10 reads, they recognize him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. A Greek word here is used in filling with amazement. Now it is the same sense of being filled with something that can be noticed that the word is used to describe the jealousy of the high priest and his group towards the apostles in Acts chapter 5 verse 17. Acts chapter 5 verse 17. And you hold on to that, because after one more passage, I'll come right back to Acts. Acts 5 verse 17 reads, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. And of course, when somebody is filled with jealousy, you can notice that because of their conduct. Now figuratively though, the word is used for the fulfillment of prophecy, as the word is used to report the prophecy of Gabriel to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, regarding his temporary dumbness until the birth of John, to say that it was fulfilled. We read that in Luke chapter 1 verse 20. Luke chapter 1 verse 20. Luke chapter 1 verse 20 reads, and now you be silent and not able to talk, I'm not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. See, the clause which will come true at their proper time is more literally which will be fulfilled in their time. And that is a Greek word, pimplemi. Now this Greek word also means to fill, to fulfill. Really, it's never used to issue a command in the New Testament, especially in connection with the Holy Spirit. Never used for commanding anything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. As we will, as we indicated previously, only Luke though used this word in the Greek New Testament in connection with the Holy Spirit. Specifically, he used it 3 times in his Gospel and 5 times in the Acts of the Apostles. Now the second Greek word, plero-yo-o. That's Greek word, plereo. It's spelled P-L-E-R P-L-E-R-O-O.
P-L-E-R-O-O.
So, that second Greek word is used then in connection with the filling of the Spirit. And is the one that appears in our passage of Ephesians 5 verse 18. Now, also with a range of meanings. The word can mean to make full, to fill up. So that it is use of things being full or filled up in a literal sense, as it is used of the sound that filled the house where the disciples were on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And the whole Acts for the next two passages is still in Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 2 reads, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Here we now have plero. Now, that's filled here. That's our second Greek word. Now, it is also in the sense that the Greek word is used by the Jewish authorities to accuse the apostles of saturating Jerusalem with the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. It is, then Peter said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. That is the Greek word plereo. Now the word also is used to convey that Satan filled the heart of Ananias with lies. Still in Acts that chapter 5, look at verse 3. Acts, the same chapter 5, look at verse 3. Same Greek word where it's used. It is, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Now the word also, the word is used by the Apostle Paul to indicate that Jesus fills the universe with his presence. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Where it reads, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Still a second Greek word. Now this, the meaning to fill can also be used of filling a person with qualities or with power. Thus, Jesus is filled with wisdom as a young boy growing up. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2 verse 40 reads, And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, the same Greek word is used for some disciples being filled with joy in Acts chapter 13, verse 52. A passage that I will refer to just before we end again. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. It reads, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Now, the imperfect passive used in the Greek for our word here implies that it was something that kept on taking place indefinitely with them. Now, so the verbal phrase "were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit," according to the United Bible Society handbook, may be translated this way: joy possessed their hearts, and the Holy Spirit completely possessed them. Let me read that again. Joy possessed their hearts, and the Holy Spirit completely possessed them. Anyway, regardless of how the Greek is translated, it really does not seem that Luke meant to state two different facts of being filled with joy and then with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't talking about two different things. No, he really states one fact concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, this means that Luke states that the disciples were filled with joy, but it's not an ordinary joy. Rather, the joy that results from the Holy Spirit. So he explained that joy that they were filled with is the same as saying they were filled with the Spirit. In effect, the verbal phrase when it says "we're filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit" should be translated "we're filled with joy," that is, with the Holy Spirit. Now, this interpretation is supported by the fact that the conjunction "and" is translated from a Greek word that can also be used for explanation, in which case it means "that is," or namely. That's why I translate "that is" with the Holy Spirit. Now, furthermore, we know that joy is a facet of the fruit of the Spirit, flowing love in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Look at the next thing: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So, you know, there's joy that people can have, but it's not the one from the Holy Spirit. It's just like, you have the kind of joy, somebody's excited, "I got a new vehicle," and they have joy. Yeah. But once a scratch goes in, they don't have that joy. So it's not the kind of joy that the Holy Spirit produces. The one the Holy Spirit produces, nothing affects it. Nothing in your environment will change it. Thus, it makes sense then that Luke should explain that when he stated that the disciples were filled with joy, that it should be interpreted as meaning they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, the meaning "to fill" can also have the sense of "furnish abundantly," to furnish abundantly, as that is the sense that the Apostle Paul used it to describe the gifts of the Philippians to him, recorded in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Philippians Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. It reads, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Now the sentence, I am amply supplied, is more literally from the Greek, I have been made full. I have been made full, plerioo. Now the Greek word then, we are considering, can also mean to bring to completion that which was already begun. Hence, it simply means to complete, as it is used by the Apostle Paul to instruct the Philippians to complete his joy in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. It is, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Now, so this second Greek word, unlike the first one, is used to issue commands only three times in the Greek New Testament. In other words, the first Greek word, timblemi, is never used for a command. Never. We never find it being used for a command. But the second one is used, and that, of course, three times in the Greek New Testament. Once, in which the subjects are passive, and twice, in which the subjects are active. Now, its usage, in which the subjects are passive in the sense of being recipients of the action of the verb, is in our passage of Ephesians 5 verse 18, where the present tense is used, while the other two usages, where the subjects are in the where the subjects act, are actually in what is called the aorist tense in the Greek, probably to convey the sense of urgency in doing what is commanded. So it is used in the instruction of the Lord to the scribes and the Pharisees, in which he tells them to finish or complete what their forefathers began. He tells them, go ahead and finish it. That is, that they should continue the tradition of their forefathers of killing the prophets. Say, go ahead, complete it. Which means, hey, go ahead, kill me. That's what your forefathers have been doing. Follow their track. This is the way it's used, more like a command, in Matthew 23 verse 32. Matthew 23 verse 32. It reads, fill up. That's our second Greek word, fill up. Then the measure of the sin of your forefathers. In other words, go ahead and complete it. Make it full, complete it. Now the other usage in which the subjects are active participants is when the apostle uses it, though, with respect to the Philippians in the passage we started previously, that is Philippians chapter 2 verse 2. Which again reads, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So then, these two Greek words, which I've only given you is more like a summary, that we have examined, have essentially the same meaning though, as it is related to the Holy Spirit, in the sense of being full of Him. Although there seems to be a different emphasis on each word. Now actually, these two Greek words are used a total of 10 times in connection with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, examination of these usages reveals that in 9 of the 10 usages, there is no Greek preposition that ensures the use of the phrase filled with the Spirit. There's no preposition in the Greek. Since in the nine passages, the Greek literally reads this way, filled of the Holy Spirit. That's a difference. It doesn't say filled with, it's just filled of in those 9 passages. Now it is only in Ephesians 5 verse 18 that we have a Greek preposition that can be translated. It can be, it doesn't have to. It can be translated with or by, among other possible translations. Now this can be explained by the fact that that is only the passage in the New Testament that the second Greek word is used as a command with respect to the Holy Spirit, so that we can understand that ultimately the Holy Spirit will be responsible for the result that is expected in the command. Whatever it means, the Holy Spirit will be responsible for it. So the phrase filled with the Spirit makes it difficult though to understand what the scripture says when it states that a person is filled of the Holy Spirit. If we use that one, filled of the Holy Spirit, it makes it a lot easier. But we'll get to that as we pray next week. Anyway, the little phrase filled of the Holy Spirit conveys the meaning that Greek expression rendered of the Holy Spirit is concerned with the extent of the Holy Spirit in the person. If we use the word of, it's talking about extent rather than what is commonly translated with. Now, in effect then, all I'm saying is it's concerned whether a person is completely full of the Holy Spirit or not. So when by saying of the Holy Spirit, it really tells us we're talking about whether a person is completely full of the Spirit or not. Now, this interpretation is supported by the fact that the second Greek verb that we have considered is related to a Greek adjective used in connection with the Holy Spirit. In the criteria the apostles gave the early church with respect to the 7 men they were to choose to serve them in the believers in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 6 verse 3. Acts and hold on to Acts, because for most part we'll spend more time in Acts now. Acts chapter 6 verse 3 reads, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Stephen, along with the other men chosen to serve, was indeed described as those full of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 5 of the same Acts chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Because it reads, this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and explanation, and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. So the word full that we have here, when we say full of faith or full of the Holy Spirit, is actually from a Greek adjective related to what we have, plerio, which means if you remove those two O's and put ES, that is the word translated full in our passage of Acts 6 verse 5. Now so, that Greek word pertains to containing, which within itself, all that it will contain. So the Greek word as an adjective simply means full or filled. Full or filled. Now so the implication is that to say the men are to be full of the Holy Spirit means that they are to be directed fully by the Holy Spirit in such a way that they have shown the characteristics of the Holy Spirit in such a manner recognized by other believers. In other words, they are so controlled, they are so full of the Spirit that those around them notice it. Every person in the church knows about it. So that's what it is used here in connection with these men. So those who are full of the Spirit are those then who are totally possessed by the Holy Spirit, or those the Holy Spirit directs. So anyway, our examination of the Greek words used in connection with the filling of the Holy Spirit reveals that the use of the phrase filled with the Holy Spirit, as we find in most of our English version, may lead to misunderstanding what the Greek says, since the Greek deals with being full of the Holy Spirit. It's dealing with being full of the Holy Spirit. Now there is more. Examination of the two Greek words used in connection with the filling of the Holy Spirit leads to the conclusion that the filling of the Holy Spirit should then be understood as consisting of two classes of filling of Holy Spirit. The first one, I call it normal filling. Now that's not the first time you're hearing it, but well, that's what our passage calls, so we'll start reviewing it anyway. So that's the first one. It reveals that's the first class called the normal, that I call normal filling of the Spirit. The second one I call it a special filling. Now a normal filling is that in which there is nothing special or spectacular that occurs as a result of the filling of the Spirit, other than reflecting, well, when I say other than, it doesn't mean it's easy, but other than reflecting the character of Christ. While a special filling of the Holy Spirit is that in which something special takes place, either in form of speaking the word or in the performance of something miraculous. See, the first Greek word that I used, pimplemi, we examine, is used for special filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm arguing now. That the first one is only used when it comes to the Holy Spirit, is used for that special filling that I'm talking about. While the second word is used for the normal filling of the Holy Spirit, as we will demonstrate. Now the first Greek word that we examine is used 8 times in the Greek New Testament in connection with the Holy Spirit. It is used once in a prophetic declaration of the fact that John the Baptist will be filled of the Holy Spirit from birth in Luke 1 verse 15 that I have already referred to. Luke 1:15. We'll read it again. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled, of course they translate with the Holy Spirit, should be filled of the Holy Spirit even from birth. Now so that's where out of those eight are made. Now in the remaining usages of the first Greek word in connection with the Holy Spirit, we find that it involves spatial speaking or something spectacular. Now Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, is said to be filled of this Holy Spirit as she declared Mary to be a blessed woman in Luke chapter 1 verses 41 and verse 42. Luke Luke and hold on to that Luke once you get it. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 41 and 42. It reads, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course they keep using we, but the Greek says of, literally. He said, was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. How will she know that? That's a special feeling. She's saying something she has no knowledge of. That's a special feeling. It's more like prophetic now. Now, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was said to be filled of the Spirit, resulting in him prophesying, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. It reads, his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So you see, here a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, the result, prophesying. Now when the disciples were enabled to speak in foreign languages, they have never known, it is our first Greek word, pimplemi, that is used for the filling of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Acts 2 verse 4. And since I said there about 8 times he uses, or Luke used 8 times, use the word plimbeo, well, 8 times. So you're going to hold on now to Acts, because the next, I think, 6 or 7 passages will be in Acts. So we've marched through Acts chapter 2 verse 4 reads, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Other tongues here mean foreign languages. Languages that someone has not ever learned. It's not a meaningless, it's not a gibberish, it's word that somebody is speaking, don't know a meaning of what he or she is saying. But there are people who understand that language. Now in two occasions, our first Greek word then was used when speaking boldly with respect to God's word. When that was a concern as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now this was the case with Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 reads, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, and you read the rest, you see how courageous that was of all he said, because he had this filling of the Spirit. Now it was also true when the disciples spoke boldly as a result of the filling of the Spirit, as recorded still in that Acts chapter 4, look at verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It reads, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, of course, I keep saying, even though the translation filled with, but the Greek says filled of the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word boldly. So here you're getting the idea. It's not just they are filled with the filled of the Holy Spirit and they're speaking a bold word. Now, Paul, before beginning his special ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles, was said to be filled of the Holy Spirit. And again, it was this the first Greek word that is used in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. He reads, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me, so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because again, be filled of the Holy Spirit. Now, this filling of the Spirit in connection with Paul or Saul was definitely concerned with speaking the word of God and in doing other miraculous things. Now, we can tell that this filling of the Spirit in connection with the Apostle Paul is concerned with first speaking of the word of God, in that soon after his conversion and meeting with Ananias and filled of the Spirit, he began to preach the word of God powerfully, as we can tell by looking at two verses in this chapter, Acts chapter 9. Look at first at verse 20. Acts chapter 9, look at verse 20. He says, at once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, in other words, it wasn't long after he got converted. As soon as this power, this special feeling came on him, he went out there and he told people, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, that's what he was coming to disprove. And now he just went up immediately and jumped, you know, as we say, wholeheartedly. Jesus is the Son of God. God, which are amazing people. And you cannot surprise. Isn't this man that came here to arrest these people who have been preaching about him? That's a special feeling. Now, again, look at verse 28. Same Acts chapter 9, verse 28. It reads, so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. That's the filling of the Spirit. Now, the next time we read of something spectacular performed by the Apostle Paul, our first Greek word, pimblemi, was used to tell us that he was filled of the Spirit, so that he pronounced judgment of blindness on Elymas, as we read in Acts chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. Acts. Acts chapter 13, verses 9 to 11 reads, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, 'You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery.'" Now, notice what he's saying. He's full of the Spirit. This is a special filling. Now, I can assure you, I have to be honest to you. I personally have enjoyed that many, many times. I can assure you that. Now, one of the ones that I can, you don't know who I'm talking about. Maybe one or two persons may know who I'm talking about, but majority of you don't know who I'm talking about. One of many years ago, almost 10 years ago or more, I was studying. Around 10 a.m., the Lord just said, "Stop, call this person, talk to them, say something to them." And that's kind of, because I don't like to talk to anyone until I finish my study. So, I called this person. Once I started talking, I said something to this person, and it scared me, because it didn't sound like my voice. It was so high that it's just unusual. And I told that person, "You will be burned with fire." Just like that. And when I finished, did this come out of my mouth? I was scared. And believe you me, a few days later, that person was burned. Like the person had to be taken and grafted with something to cover the skin. That is what's called spiritual feeling. It didn't come from me. I have nothing to do with it. So that's what we have here with Paul. While Paul had this, look at what he says. Paul said, "You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now, the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind. And for a time, you will be unable to see the light of the sun." He didn't practice that. I know it's because of people making all this mockery of what God can do. They tell you, "Come on here, we're going to heal you." So people throw away everything about what the Holy Spirit can do. Because those are people are faking things. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not acting the way he didn't act. He hasn't changed. So here, Paul didn't rehearse this. This is what came up immediately. Look at what he says. He was filled of the Spirit. So he wasn't talking out of his own mouth. In the sense that we'll say, he's coming from him. No. Sure, what's coming out of his mouth, but that was God the Holy Spirit speaking. Because he now has that special feeling. And then, he said, "You're going to be blind. And for a time, you'll be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now, you notice that he said, you're going to be blind. You didn't plan it. That's what we call spiritual feeling of the Spirit walking. And as soon as that happened, the man got blind. So hence, it is clear then, that in all the passages where our first Greek word is used in connection with the filling of the Holy Spirit, something special occurred. Hence, our use of the term special filling of the Holy Spirit. Something special occurred. Now, this is not the case, though, with our second Greek word, plereio. It's never used in that way. It is used to describe that believers were filled of the Spirit so that they were filled with joy. As in the passage we cited previously, Acts chapter 13, verse 52. He reads, And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now see, we have already discussed this passage to indicate that it is associated with the normal aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And so, nothing special about it, so to say. It's still special, but not in the same sense that we're talking. So, the other use then of our second Greek word is in connection with the Holy Spirit, is for issuing a command in our passage of Ephesians 5 verse 18. In any event, we have then argued that there are two kinds of the filling of the Spirit. On the one hand, there is the normal filling of the Spirit that every believer is commanded to experience. Every one of us is commanded to experience this normal filling. On the other hand, there is the special filling of the Spirit that God sovereignly gives an individual for specific tasks. He sovereignly gives it. Since this is not commanded, there's nowhere we are commanded to be filled of the Spirit in a special way. It's never found in the Scripture. Yet people were experienced that because it was a sovereign decision of God. So since this is not commanded, we should focus on the normal filling of the Spirit, which is a command in the passage of Ephesians 5 verse 18 that we're studying. Because that's what we're commanded. Look at all I showed you, special filling. There was no command for it. None. God sovereignly decides when and how the person gets filled of the Spirit in a special way. Now, so what I'm saying is our focus in our study will be in the normal filling of the Spirit. But before we get to this command though, that we are considering, let me leave you for now with this important fact, that if you want to enjoy the normal filling of the Holy Spirit, you must obey God's word. If you want to enjoy the normal filling, the special filling is something God does for His own purpose. And I'm sure that I'm certain that there's no one, when that takes place, the person will not be in a state of sin. It just cannot happen. So, here's the thing. For the normal one, all I'm going to do, since I haven't explained yet what it means to be filled of the Spirit, I'm only introducing it, because that's what we're going to do next week by God's grace. Nonetheless, I leave you with that thought. If you want that normal feeling, you must obey continuously. You must live under continuous obedience to God's word, as implied in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. He reads, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." That is what I call the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. In other words, the obedience here, two kinds. The day you believe in Christ, that's the first one. But the Greek is in present tense, which means as you continue. So the day you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in you for sure. And you are not at that point, you are filled normally. A second after that, the story may change. But if you now want to continue to be under that Holy Spirit's control, or the normal filling, you must now live a life of obedience. You cannot afford to be careless in your spiritual life. I keep saying that. Many of us don't understand what I'm saying. You cannot live a life where you just talk, you say things, you're not thinking.
You do things you're not thinking. You can't afford to do that if you're a very serious-minded Christian. I mean, I know we're all surrounded with people who make us make jokes and laugh. You can't do that and experience this normal feeling of the Spirit. You've got to be conscious of what comes out of your mouth every moment. Conscious of your conduct if you're going to enjoy this normal feeling. Sure, we laugh, but we have to be careful that we do not get involved in anything that we negate the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. So that's just something that I introduced. And by God's grace, like I said, next week, we begin to look at what it means to be filled of the Spirit. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here or someone listening over the internet who has not first obeyed the first command that has to do with believing in Christ. So you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. So all I'm talking about doesn't really concern you. Your first concern now is to be alive. Because at this point, you're dead. You don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have nothing to do with God, because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you have no relationship with Him. Sure, He created you, but you have no relationship with Him. Now, you're incapable of changing it. That's why God, in His infinite love, He solved a mystery. What mystery may talk? See, He's a holy and righteous God. How can He love a sinful man without compromising His character? The only way He did it was to build a bridge between Him and man. And that bridge is the person of Jesus Christ, who came and stayed on that cross and died for my sins and your sins. While on that cross, He was judged for all sins that has been committed or will ever be committed on this planet. And when He finished, He said, "It is finished." That means sin's been paid for completely. That if you go to hell, eternal destruction is because you rejected the offer that's given to Jesus Christ. So while Christ died on that cross, He paid for your sins and my sins. So that invitation, you can come now to God. So that your sins will be made, even if they are, you know, as red as crimson, they will be made as white as snow. So that He will cleanse you by faith in His Son. And once you trust Him, it doesn't matter how horrible your life has been, He will forgive you completely. Make you a new person. That's why the commands we have, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe what you may ask. The Bible again says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is a Christ, the Son of God. Believing in Him, you have life through His name. Trust that He died for your sins and resurrected the third day, and you will receive eternal life. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to challenge us, our mind, to seek to be under your normal control of the Spirit. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. Our meeting begins right away.